Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm red.
That's what we're doing in here this morning, laughing at clouds and singing in the rain. Morning, Spence.
Morning.
How are you over in the newsroom over by there?
A little aggravated.
Well, I'm not going to. I mean, everything all right over there?
Yeah, it's just
technical.
Technical computer stuff is being obstinate.
Oh, for crying out loud. I've got, are we having email issues this morning?
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the things that are aggravating me this morning.
Me too, over by here. That's funny. I was talking to Dave Wolf. You know, he supplies the sports and stuff for us in the morning. Or for me, anyway. I don't know if anybody else uses them or not. But from his remote location, he was able to print his sports to our printer.
Really?
In this building, but he was unable to send them via email.
That is just weird.
The wonderful world of technology. Well, here we go. It's the middle of the week here, and yeah, we are getting rained on, although the radar suggests that the bulk of it is done. It's moving off to the north and east. There are little patches, apparently, that may pop up here and there over the course of the rest of the morning, but it should kind of be done by then. But that's okay. We our parched lawns and fields are certainly getting some relief from this. Now, other places, not so much. Did you see what happened out in Denver?
Yeah.
They dropped 60 degrees in 24 hours.
Incredible.
The high on one day was 90. The next day it was 30.
Incredible.
And they're looking at, incredible. Looking at 3 to 6 inches of snow out there. So, sucks to be them. Although I would take that. Excuse me. Apparently I got a cloud caught in my throat this morning. I would take that over what's happening farther west.
Is just in horrendous. California.
I saw some video this morning, Spence, from somewhere in, is it Washington or Oregon? They're having some fire issues up there as
Oregon,
well.
Oregon, for sure, I know.
The sky was blood red.
Yes.
I mean, it looks, and it looked like they had put a filter on their camera. Mm-hmm. They insisted they had not. But the whole world just looked red from the skies, the after effects of flames up there. But out in California, record number of acres have burned out there thus far. The one fire called the El Dorado, that's the one that they say was sparked by somebody doing a gender reveal party.
Yes.
And apparently, I don't know what exactly they were doing there, but they had some sort of an incendiary device that I guess exploded the blue or pink powder or whatever, however those things work. And that apparently sparked this El Dorado fire. That one itself is 7,000 acres total.
Can't imagine 7,000 acres.
Total is 2 million.
Can't
now.
Imagine that. Can't
well,
imagine.
I'm going to help you imagine that.
Okay.
Because I did the math. You know, I'm curious and always in search of a perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
2 million acres, so you can kind of get a mental image of what that is, because it sounds like, forever. It sounds like the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the nightly news gives it a lot of attention because the video is so dramatic, and that's what they live for, dramatic video.
Well, yeah.
Because it's the TV, you know. But here's the deal. 2 million acres. You want to bring that home? Go from Benton Harbor over to about Battle Creek.
Wow.
And from there down to the state line. That's about 2 million acres.
That's
So all of that, if those fires were happening here, that's how much would be burned. Now, on the other side of that that coin, comparatively speaking, you compare that that chunk of property or that chunk of land to the entire size of the state of California, it's kind of small by comparison.
Yeah.
Unless you're in it,
yeah,
then it's huge.
Yeah, think about not only people, but all the animals.
Yeah, animals, people, property. Because the only comparison I had seen was that's about the size of Delaware. Well, I don't know how big Delaware is. So I did the math. It's about 3,100 square miles, 2 million acres. And then you can do the calculation and find something that makes sense. And that's what made sense to me. From Benton Harbor to Battle Creek, and then from that line basically down to the state line, that's about 2 million acres. So now you know.
Wow.
So, and it's apparently not showing any signs of relief. I heard somebody talking to a firefighter out there, and he was, it was somebody in Chicago. And the firefighter was saying, "Hey, I saw your forecast. We are jealous of your 60 degrees. We could use 60 degrees because in addition to all the fires out there, 120 degrees in Los Angeles over the weekend.
Poor people.
How do you live in that?
And then the rotating power outages.
Yeah, yeah, on purpose because they're trying to prevent sparking power lines from creating more problems,
right,
which is what they ran into last time.
And air pollution.
Yeah. Yeah, blood red skies and haze and smoke everywhere. What a mess. What a mess. So, with all of that under our belts this morning, I'll take the Denver 3 to 6 inches of snow.
Well, yeah.
Over, you know, living in a fiery hellscape. Jeez Louise. That's
awful.
And I'm thankful for the wet weather we're getting here because it just kind of feels good. You know what I'm saying? But again, it looks like most of that is done. What else do we know here this morning? Speaking of water, I see that if you live in Lincoln Township, your water bills are going up next year to the tune of about 10%. They're saying that'll add about $35 a year for most residents next year in Lincoln Township.
Or is there a water shortage in the lake? Or?
Yeah. No, it's infrastructure issues.
You know,
they've got water and sewer lines and pump stations and that sort of stuff that need either maintenance or replacement. So as with everything else, up we go. So Lincoln Townshipers, about $35 more on your water bill. That's next year.
Mm-hmm.
Starting next year and for the entire year, it's about $35. So, you know, you pay it quarterly out there, so whatever that is.
Good news this morning is the gas is under $2 a gallon now.
Under? Where'd you see that?
Napier Shell.
Really?
Yeah, $1.97, I think.
Hello. So. Well, I'll go for that. I haven't heard why that's going on, but so
what? Well, people aren't using as much petroleum as they were, I guess.
Yeah. Plus, the driving season, such as it was, is kind of over. Vacation driving is done for the most part. So there you go. That's what we know there. Also, a little closer to your home there in South Haven, I see their city manager search is being whittled down.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been whittled down?
Yeah, probably by my mom.
You ever been put in your place?
By my mother, for sure.
They're down to 7, I guess, now. And there's some locals that are in the running here for new city manager in South Haven, because they lost theirs. Had you heard?
Yeah, he's now the Bering County Administrator.
That's right. So the interim city manager, Kate Hozier, is that right?
Hozier.
Yeah. She's still a contender. You've got contenders from Waterville 8 and Covert Township, and they're down to 7, and they're working on that. So there's your update on the South Haven city manager's search. We're going to turn our attentions here briefly this morning to automotive issues in page one of our morning announcements, because I was intrigued by a couple of articles here yesterday. One of them, and you guys were reporting on it in WSJM News, about General Motors looking to boost sales of its electric vehicles. And in order to do that, they're trying to partner with Uber. That's assuming, I guess, that Uber comes back from the pandemic, because they've struggled, certainly, with everybody working from home. But they're trying to partner up with Uber to put more people into electric vehicles, offering the ride-sharing company's drivers a discount on the purchase of their Chevrolet Bolt. For whatever reason, I thought the Bolt, or was that the...
Chevy Volt was out a while ago.
But that went away, right?
I think so, because you don't hear anything more about it.
Well, they're offering them a deal on this one, 20% off their charging accessories and employee pricing as they try to team up with Uber to accelerate electric vehicle adoption on the 2020 Chevrolet Bolt electric vehicle. Another step that they're taking to promote EV or electric vehicle adoption. They're moving, I think we reported on this maybe a year ago, that Mary Barra, the GM there, said that they were moving toward an all-electric future. So they're making the necessary steps along the way here to apparently make that happen. They will launch at least 20 electric vehicles within the next 3 years. That's a bunch.
Now, the interesting thing about that, the sales of sedans are way down.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they're making any gasoline-powered sedans now.
Yeah, they're down to almost nothing. Pretty soon you're going to see SUVs out on the NASCAR track instead.
Yeah.
Because right now, you know, the NASCAR vehicles are patterned after sedans, or allegedly based on sedans. So if there aren't any sedans for them to be based on, what's next? Are we going to be watching SUVs around the track at the Daytona 500?
Can't see a one-ton GMC pickup being electric, but I, you know.
Hey, and I've got a little more on that here in a minute, too, from the other guys, from Ford. They're working on that. But it keeps coming here. General Motors says they envision a future of zero crashes, zero emissions, zero congestion. I don't know how they're going to do away with the congestion, but the crashes, I think a lot of that is to be taken care of with this new automatic braking technology and keep you in your lane technology and basically autonomous vehicle type technology. And us old timers are having a hard time wrapping our heads around this in many cases, but they're moving forward with it. What doesn't seem to be happening is any kind of a concerted effort or coordinated effort with the power generating industry, because if everything's going that way and we keep decommissioning power plants... This seems to be a rather divergent plan here.
Yeah, and we're always told to use less electricity and, you know.
Everything that's being made is certainly more energy efficient. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, virtually everything that we do utilize anymore requires energy. I mean, walk around your house at night and see how many little blue lights are lit up everywhere because everything is on all the time, you know, in your TV hubs and all of your clocks and all that kind of stuff on everything that you own. Everything is hooked up to the grid somehow. And we just keep decommissioning power plants. We're afraid of nuclear power still, apparently, for some reason. And, the coal plants are going by the wayside. You know, we've got plenty of natural gas for now, but will that we always? I don't know.
I wish they could do something about the electricity you get when the house is dry and you get that static, you know, when you touch the light switch or something and you go, ow, you know, something like that. I wish they could store that somewhere.
You just have a little place in your house where you stick your finger in a hole and it sends the electricity from you into like a little condenser to save it for later.
Yeah, after you rub your feet on the carpeting or something, you know, I mean.
You do like the Stooges used to do or Uncle Fester, just stick a light bulb in your mouth and rub your feet on the carpet and you can light up the room.
That'd be the only way somebody would call me bright.
Well, on the electric vehicle front, Uber has said that all of their taxis available through their app will be electric by the year 2040. And by 2030 in U.S., in the United States, Canada, and their European cities. So within the next 10 years, they say that all of their taxis available through their app will be electric. And they say they'll spend $800 million to help drivers switch to electric cars. And users will be able to request an electric or hybrid vehicle. General Motors will begin producing its first electric/hydrogen pickup truck within the next 2 years. They're taking on Tesla in this regard, teaming up, and this was the story you just had in the news, Arizona-based Nikola, manufacturing the Badger pickup. It's a $2 billion deal. Tesla vehicles are battery-powered. The Badger will work by combining hydrogen gas with oxygen to compete with Tesla's Cybertruck. That'll enter production late next year.
That's interesting.
Ford's planning something similar. So it's coming.
I'm breaking rocks in the hot sun. I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and the law won.
The Bobby Fuller Four from way back when.
I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and
got hippie go-go dancers in the video on this, Spence. It's actually...
Oh, really? Cool.
It's kind of... There are... These guys are all in suits and ties, and then they got these go-go dancers. It's just so 60s.
Wow.
66, in case you're wondering when and why and how. And, so, and the reason I threw up a little Bobby Fuller and fighting the law and the law winning is I heard an interview yesterday with one of the higher-ups in the Chicago Police Department who was talking about all their issues over there. And at one point, just kind of casually mentioned in the conversation that they had taken 7,000 guns off the streets of Chicago this summer.
Wow.
7,000 guns. Last year, for the full year, they took 10,000 off the streets of Chicago. Holy crap.
Old West.
I guess. It's just astounding. It's, you know, it just brings to mind. This is something that for whatever reason, well, I know what the reason is. But it never really becomes much of a part of the discussion on why we're having all of these problems. Blue Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter, police are too rough, and that sort of thing. We keep having that discussion, but what never seems to come into that discussion is any of the reasons why we've gotten to where we've gotten and why police act or react the way they do, and I assume are trained to do that, to take total control of a given situation when they arrive. And it has to be because they have to be afraid for their lives every time they encounter anybody.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is everybody's packing, or they have to assume everybody's packing. Just, this whole notion that, I don't know, in my humble opinion, yes, absolutely, you have the right to defend yourself, Second Amendment, and so on and so forth. However, this whole notion that the world is a better or safer place with everybody carrying seems to fail the common sense test to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, if how'd you like to, every day you went to work, how'd you like to have to assume that you might die? And I don't mean by having a bad show and, you know, and then, you know, hearing this every time you crack a joke, you know, that's one way of dying. But to have to imagine a job where you go to work every day with, you know, having to consider the fact that you might not come home. And that's a policeman's life, especially in big cities.
Yeah.
So if that's the situation, you're going to be a little edgy when you're out there, when you have to, when you come up on somebody in a car, you don't know who that is. You don't know if they have a gun. Mm-hmm. You come into a domestic violence situation. Those are always fraught with the issues.
Yeah.
So, you know, we very seldom get down to talking about why we've gotten to where we are with militarized police forces and people being belligerent in the faces in the face of law enforcement and refusing to do what they're told to do. We just kind of blow all that off and we just kind of say, well, we just need to get tougher on these people. And what's the problem? Why does it? So why are we where we're at? I don't know. We just need to beat people into submission, and then the problem will be solved. Again, that flies in the face of common sense.
Yep.
So, but in a political world, the particularly in a political situation that we're in right now, none of that stuff will be addressed. So, we'll see what happens next. But speaking of weapons, I've become both saddened and amused by the recent trend. That you see in all of these confrontational videos out there of people wielding their cell phones like weapons. Have you seen this stuff where people hold up their phones and I'm videotaping you, I'm getting you on video, and then the person that their video that's being obnoxious that is being recorded, well, they bring out their cell phone and they start wielding these things. The Luke Skywalker and their phone is their lightsaber. And somehow or another, the fact that you're holding your cell phone up in front of your face recording someone is intimidating to them. It's both sad. That's the saddest part of it all, this dueling cell saber thing that we're doing now. I got you on video. Yeah, well, I got you on video. You're going to be a Facebook star. I don't care. All the Karens and the Kevins and the racial confrontations and protesters versus police. Anything involving police is now on video. And I saw one. What the heck did I see yesterday? Some Proud Boys somewhere rushed and attacked some BLM protester or something and started pounding on this kid. And the weirdest part about that was, not that that wasn't weird in and of itself, with the guys in camo and what appeared to be the protective gear, in case they get shot or something. Mm-hmm. Basically military gear. Guys in that kind of garb and carrying red flags running down the street chasing after some doofus that was like in a pair of Skechers and some stretch pants. And they're pounding on him on the ground, and then all of a sudden the police swarm in to take this apart. But the weirdest part of that whole video was somebody was shooting it from afar. A swarm of people with cell phones and cameras just surrounded this situation to get it all on video so I can get it up on TikTok or Facebook or mm-hmm. What a world. What are we becoming? This is just...
You didn't see that with Polaroids.
You see people running up with those cameras, everybody waving their pictures in the wind to get them to develop quickly.
Oh, just a minute.
Yeah, I guess it would have been a little less intimidating, too, for everybody to be pointing those tiny little flat cameras with the pop-up, remember the flash cube?
Oh, the Instamatic?
The little Instamatic.
Yeah.
Yeah, those aren't intimidating at all.
You can only take four pictures before you could have to change that cube, you know?
That's right. Oh, my God. I got you on video. Yeah, well, I got you on video. I just saw another one. He's some guy's in his garage, and there's some old lady and her husband, and the old lady's yelling at him. Apparently, it had something to do with their kids writing things in chalk on the pavement outside their garage as they live in some sort of a development. And he's yelling. The guy with the video is yelling at her. Yeah, oh, you go tell the HOA, and she's yelling at him, and the old man's trying to pull her away from it. And she keeps coming back and yelling at him because she doesn't like the chalk on the sidewalk. And he's egging her on, and he's out of breath, and I'm not sure why. And she just keeps coming, and her husband keeps trying to pull her away. And then it devolves into racial stuff. And I have it just sounded to me like the guy who was taking the video was trying to get it to go there. Because, you know, well, that's a much more interesting takedown video than it would have been otherwise.
You didn't see that in Mayberry.
We have lost our sense of civility. We just, who was I talking to? It doesn't matter. Somebody the other day. And when I used to get to that situation, we used to just walk away.
Oh, yeah.
No, it's everybody is stand your ground and pull out your cell phone lightsaber and, start wielding it to do away with the aggressor. I've become sadly amused by all these things because they are both amusing and sad. Where do we stand on the unemployment situation this morning? Some potentially good news for the unemployed. An extra $300 a week could be dropping into unemployed workers' accounts soon. Michigan has taken the next step in distributing federal aid as the governor signed the bill yesterday. Puts out $2.8 billion in FEMA dollars to help give the extra funding to the unemployed. They think it's there'll be just under 1 million people here in Michigan who will likely qualify for the $300 payment. This is for unemployed now, not for those who are working. The requirement's stricter than what was needed to get to $600 earlier in the year, but it's $300. It's better than no $100, I guess.
Yeah.
So, now, to that end, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announced yesterday the Senate will vote on a GOP proposal for coronavirus relief tomorrow. It'll be the first formal vote of the Senate on the virus relief since March. March!
A long time ago.
Quoting Mr. McConnell, the Senate's going to vote on this targeted proposal. We're going to get the stonewalling of Democratic leaders out from behind closed doors to put this to a vote out here on the floor. Senators, he says, will not be voting on whether this package satisfies every one of their legislative hopes and dreams. That's not what we do in this chamber. There would be some would say there is nothing that they do in that chamber.
Yeah.
Because everything goes there and dies. This new proposal meant as a more targeted approach to COVID-19 relief. Previously, McConnell and his crew in the Senate had a $1 trillion proposal on the books. Before that, the House passed a $3 trillion package. They offered to compromise with the Senate and bring it down to $2 trillion. But this, the Senate is looking at now, is less than the $1 trillion that they had proposed initially. So it's a very slim deal by recent comparison. My guess is that since the Democrats started at $3 trillion, came down to we'll talk at $2 trillion, and the Senate started at $1 trillion and went backwards from there, I'm guessing there will be no discussion on this, and it will just die. And everybody will go home and campaign, and we just get on with our lives. Oh, election year politics, they are just absolutely insane. So what else do we know here? Interesting report out regarding the highly contested way that Michigan approached the treatment of COVID patients regarding nursing homes. The governor's been taking all kinds of flack over this. I've seen people that I know call her a murderer over this. Anyway, Michigan's response to coronavirus as it relates to nursing homes was, and I quote, a perfectly appropriate strategy to be taken. This is from the Center for Health and Research Transformation. And if you want to find out what they're all about, you can Google that. They are a nonprofit health policy center over at the University of Michigan that has evaluated the state's decision to establish these nursing home hubs early on to help care for the COVID patients transferred from other nursing homes or discharged from hospitals. They came up with the recommendations to improve the system moving forward. And again, quoting, the strategy followed the guidance that was known at the time. It was a perfectly appropriate strategy to be taken. Now, I know the Whitmer haters and those that are calling her Whittler on a regular basis are just going to dismiss that as, you know, partisan baloney. But that's the finding from the Center for Health and Research Transformation, saying that Michigan's use of the nursing home hubs has been heavily criticized, particularly by Republican lawmakers. They say her actions and the administration's actions exacerbated the situation, but the numbers don't bear that out. Michigan has fared better than other states in this category. A smaller percentage of COVID-19 deaths coming from nursing homes. The percentage of deaths among nursing home residents also considerably lower in the hubs compared to non-hub nursing homes. So 17% versus 26%. So those are the numbers. You know, if you want to use them to boost up your favorite governor, so be it. If you want to dismiss them because you can't stand her, well, then the numbers aren't going to change your mind. But there they are. Use them as you see fit.